the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Steve Hellwagon in just a moment. Before we get to that, I want to tell you guys about our awesome sponsor. I've been telling you guys about him a lot, Nuts.com. And perfect sponsor for many reasons, not just because of the name fits with Bucknuts.com and Nuts.com, but love these guys. I mean, there's so much great stuff. You guys know I love the almonds. You know, I love their chocolate covered pretzels. I like their root beer barrels a lot. I know Mrs. Sanchez, Devin Sanchez's mom, Dietra Sanchez, is not as big of a fan on the root beer barrels, but you know, reasonable minds can disagree. So they've got so much great stuff. They're half pop popcorn. Check it out. At nuts.com, quality is a top priority. They roast their nuts and pop their corn the same day it ships, so they reach you deliciously fresh. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Right now, Nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping of orders on orders of $29 or more at Nuts.com/Bucknuts. So go check out all the delicious options at Nuts.com/Bucknuts. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That's Nuts.com/Bucknuts. I highly recommend it. You guys will get a free gift and free shipping. Boom. Try Nuts.com. Let's bring in my guy Steve Hellwagon. I tell you what, it's going to be a fun day on the beat, my friend. It's always fun meeting new coaches at Ohio State, but Carlos Laughlin, as I've said on the show and in print, might have one of the most interesting backgrounds that I have seen from an Ohio State coach. It's going to be very interesting meeting with him today. We're also going to get a chance to meet with Coach Day today. So programming note out there, my friends, Coach Day, Coach Laughlin today at noon. Steve, really looking forward to meeting Carlos Laughlin. Your thoughts on that hire and, just your thoughts on getting a chance to chat with Carlos Laughlin today.
Yeah, Carlos Laughlin, it's like he's had a rocket strapped to him. He's been one of the fastest rising stars, let's just say, in college coaching. And Ohio State loses a veteran with Tony Alford, and they kind of go in a completely different direction with a guy who only has 3 or 4 years of on-field coaching experience. And he was a player at Chattanooga, and then bounced around a few high schools in the Memphis area, latched on at Memphis as a support staff person, went with Mike Norvell down to Florida State, support person there, Memphis, assistant coach for a year or two, Oregon, assistant coach for a year or two, and now at the Ohio State University. That was some Big Ten on Big Ten crime. Big Ten funded versus Big Ten not yet entirely funded Oregon, crime on that one, taking him away from Oregon. And, you know, we're going to get a chance to meet him for the first time today. He was on the practice field, I think, last Wednesday or Friday, whatever the last day was. We were able to get it Wednesday, I believe, for interviews, and we didn't get a chance to talk to him then. But to me, this is the right guy at the right time for Ohio State to take that position in a direction, and we're already seeing some benefits. Bill Kerlick is reporting one guy after another wants to come to Columbus and meet with Carlos Laughlin about the running back position at Ohio State. And let's just be very honest, Dave, it's pretty wide open. In fact, they need to go in the portal probably with Dallin Hayden leaving and get an aftermarket running back, I think, here in after spring football is over. And just so they have some depth and some experience depth, because Trayvon Henderson, injury prone. Quinshon Judkins has been a workhorse for two seasons at Ole Miss. And then you're down to the two freshmen, James Peoples and Sam Williams Dixon. who I think have both done pretty well this spring. Good to get TC Caffey, the walk-on, back into the fold. He looked great at the scrimmage that we attended, got a few carries that day. But, I think Lachlan coming in at the right time and is going to do a bang-up job, I think, as the running backs coach at Ohio State.
Let me ask you this, and this is just for depth purposes. I'm not saying they need to bring in a running back to challenge for, like, you know, challenge Travion and Quinshon for playing time. And I'm with you on TC Caffey. I like him a lot. James Peoples, I like him a lot, especially coming from Texas, playing against top competition. I really like James Peoples. And running back's one of those positions where you can play as a true freshman, as we all know. Again, TC Caffey, maybe they'll bump him up to scholarship. Sam Williams-Dixon. But even if they bump up TC Caffey to scholarship, I feel like they need one more scholarship back. And you have the young man from UMass who's in the portal. He's from Ohio. K'Ron Lynch Adams, about 5'10", 205, coming off a really good year. Set the UMass school record with 1,200 yards rushing this past year. Will be a sixth-year senior. I think they need to get a guy like that in the portal just for depth, you know, in case there's injuries and just to get an extra scholarship running back. What do you think about that, Steve?
Yeah, that sounds like a great prospect right there. Somebody who would accept their role at a primetime school with the opportunity to get a few carries in each game and to kind of be that change-up back. You know, you throw Henderson and Judkins at people, and you don't want to put too – with a possible 16-game season, you don't want to put too many miles on them during the Indiana, Marshall, et cetera, games, you know, that you're going to play. You want to save those guys for the primary games, the must-win primary games like Oregon and Michigan and Penn State and those type games. So to me, it would make perfect sense to get a guy with experience, as you described, from UMass and an Ohio guy. It almost seems like a perfect fit. We'll see if Coach Day and everybody at Ohio State sees it that way.
Isn't it crazy how fast things change? It feels like it was just 6 days ago. We were sitting down with Dallin Hayden over there at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, and he was talking about how he's sticking around and everything, and he's looking forward to it. And then, you know, a few days later, he transfers. He's in the portal. But that's college football, though. I'm sure, like, I know he was already offered money at Tennessee, pretty good NIL package, and they talked him into staying back in January, I believe. And I bet the pot was sweetened a little bit. I bet there's a multitude of factors. He knows he was, again, going to be third best on the pecking order at best. I think Tony Alford leaving, maybe that played a role. They kind of jerked him around a little bit the last 2 years. I still can't believe coming off that Maryland game 2 years ago, he didn't start the Michigan game. Not that it would have mattered, but I don't know. I mean, what do you make of Dallin Hayden leaving?
Unfortunate, but he bided his time. He waited, he waited, he waited, and they just kept putting more and more people in front of him. So, only Ryan Day can answer fully what happened with that Michigan situation. And again, they weren't going to win that game. When you give up five touchdowns of 50 yards or longer on defense, you're not going to win that game. But boy, oh boy, it would have been nice if you'd played the best players that day on offense. To me, that might have helped because certainly they didn't do anything with the guys they put in there. So I don't know. It's unfortunate. You know, but again, Travion Henderson, when he's healthy, he's as good as it gets. So I think that, and that's a big proviso because he's only healthy about half the time. But to me,
Quinshon is too. It's crazy. They both have
Quinshon's
almost
the really good same. Too.
Quinshon's fantastic. They almost have the exact same amount of career yards. Both are right around 2,750 yards.
One in 3 years and one in two. Yeah.
Right. But think about it. I mean, assuming one of them doesn't suffer a serious injury, relatively early in the season, they're both going to eclipse. They're both going to eclipse the 3,000-yard mark for their career. I mean, that's got to be a first. You have two backs on the same team that have 3,000 career rushing yards, at least.
That's going to be awesome.
In modern day. I mean,
go to town.
It's crazy. So, again, we're sitting here, oh, man, they're losing the third-string running back. And there was some talk that maybe TC Caffey was pushing Dallin for that number three spot. But regardless, I say Dallin was the number three. You know, life is good when you've got
first world problems.
And now we're like, oh, oh, but Dallin Hayden's leaving. But I like Dallin. I wish him well, like a lot of people are saying. You got to do what's best for you, and I wish that young man well. He always was a class act. And they're in good shape at running back. I do think just for depth, like I said, they need to add one more kid, and maybe it will be K'Ron Lynch Adams. All right, Steve Hellwagon. We now know the spring game format, at least most of it. We talked to Coach Day today. I'm curious, are they actually going to be tackling? I hope they at least have some tackling. But what we do, we don't know that yet. What we do know, my friends, here's your spring game format. It's going to be offense versus defense instead of splitting them into two teams. So like the offense, the offense will probably be scarlet and the defense will probably be gray. And then the first three quarters will be somewhere between 12 to 15 minutes each with a stopped clock. And then the fourth quarter is going to be a 10-minute running clock. 10-minute halftime, and the game's going to be on Fox, which is wild. A glorified scrimmage on national TV. I love it. So there's your spring game format. Anything that jumps out to you, Steve?
Yeah, to me, I think Ohio State needs to help take ownership of this with Fox and make it a two-hour infomercial for the Ohio State way of life. I mean, that's kind of how – and that's how Big Ten Network in a lot of ways has always approached these, was to have a lot of interviews and different things, you know, going on while the action – you know, I would think while the action's going on, Ryan Day will be talking to the guys in the booth with Urban Meyer and Jason Benetti, who's going to be calling the action. I think Brady Quinn might be up there as well. So, to me, Ohio State's got to take ownership of this two-hour commercial on network television and really make it appear that Ohio State is the preeminent college football program in the country. It's no longer Alabama. Nick Saban's gone. You know, you could say it's Georgia. I don't know. But Ohio State's definitely in the top three or four. And with this two-hour window into the Ohio State way of life, as I like to say, they need to brand themselves as the preeminent college football program in the country and take full advantage of this two-hour window. It's not about watching third-string tight end out there flutzing around or whatever, you know, whatever. That's great. They're going to show every play. But to me, you know, from a presentation standpoint, they need to embrace this and make it what it could possibly be. As far as the game, I mean, I look at it that spring games are always about letting the freshmen, the redshirt freshmen, the sophomores really get an opportunity to show what they can do. You don't want anybody to get hurt. That's the first thing. And I don't think anybody, you know, in recent years, we haven't seen a preponderance of injuries in these things. Like they know how to practice and play. Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver, is he going to do something to light everybody up at wide receiver? That would be kind of cool. Maybe they'll set it up so he's got a walk-on to run against on his first or second pattern. He can just make some kind of highlight reel play or something. That would be great to kind of get him off and rolling and get the buzz going for Ohio State in 2024. Those young quarterbacks, how many snaps do they get? Does Lincoln Kienholz get any work at all in this game? They're starting to rumor he's moving on to Iowa. The first guy who's practicing with one team but is already projected to be in the quarterback race at another. I've never seen or heard of this, but welcome to 2024. And then obviously, Will Howard and Devin Brown are going to be off limits. They'll be in black jerseys and, you know, just touch them if you want to hear the whistle blow. But pass protection, Dave, I thought it was pitiful the day we were there for the student appreciation day. And, you know, what's really going on with this offensive line? They got to figure this out.
Yeah, they can't do what they did in last year's spring game. They've got to at least, like, have stalemates. You know, the defensive line is going to outplay the offense. This defensive line is stacked. And then especially how deep they are when you get to the second team D line against the second team offense. I'm like, geez, that's not even fair. A Caden McDonald against some of the second team, but the starters need to look good. You know, and Donovan Jackson's not going to play much. I imagine Simmons won't. Those guys have a lot of snaps under their belt, including the 1 year Simmons started at San Diego State. So the left side might not play very much. So that offensive line might get killed because you take those guys off the field, and even that second team defensive line is fantastic for Ohio State. So I like some of the third teamers as well. All right, let me ask you this. You touched on the quarterbacks. There's a lot of hype about Julian Sand, and we've seen him this spring. We saw him at that scrimmage. They weren't not that the quarterbacks would have been tackled, but, you know, they weren't tackling the wide receivers. But it was like, you know, they were bumping into each other pretty hard. There was some pseudo tackling. I was impressed with him. I don't know. People ask me, are you buying the hype? It's like, what level of hype are we talking about, that he's going to be the starting quarterback? No, I'm not buying that. I am buying he looks good out there. Very nice, crisp, natural throwing motion. And he seems like he has poise, a lot of poise. There's just something about him. He's not a big guy. So I'm curious to get your take. Are you buying the hype, however you want to define that? And then I know we have to be careful to put too much into a spring game, because remember everybody freaking out about Justin Fields 5 years ago in 2019 because of the spring game. He turned out to be pretty good, Steve Hellwagon. So are you buying this Julian Sain hype, however you want to define that?
Yeah, I guess I want to see more. Honestly, we don't get to watch much practice, so I need to see it with my own two eyes, I guess. I thought he was okay the day we were there. He didn't really spark, you know, anything too big that day. Thought it was kind of interesting, the black stripe picture. He's got Will Howard and Devin Brown towering over him, and he's kind of Baker Mayfield in the middle there. Hey, if he has a Baker Mayfield kind of career, I think people would go with that. Maybe add a national championship in there. But, you know, if he has that kind of impact on a program, I think that would be wonderful. So, you know, again, let's put him under the gun and let's see who responds, you know, as best as possible under given, you know, the quasi-competitive circumstances of a spring game. You know, I mean, the defense knows what you're running, so that's an advantage to them a lot of times. The offense, you know, hamstrung a little bit sometimes. But, you know, and again, if you mix and match offensive lines and you don't have continuity, it leads to a lot of broken plays. So we'll see who comes through this Saturday. You know, I was asked in my chat on Monday, like my list of guys who have really kind of perked up this spring, for lack of a better term, and guys who you'd like to hear more about. I had a list of like 20 guys I was excited about. And I'm not even throwing in there the Tui Maloals and the Sawyers. I mean, right. We knew all about them. I'm talking about guys that are kind of in their second or third year, maybe even a true freshman who really showed up. I mean, to me, Bryson Rogers was a guy at that practice who really stood out. And he's not a guy that people have talked at all about at wide receiver. And maybe he's the guy who weasels his way into the fourth or fifth spot in that rotation. God, let's hope there is a rotation this year. I think that Hartline ran the tread off Marvin Harrison Jr., Mecca Buka, and Fleming. I mean, by the end of the year, those guys were spent. And, you know, to me, you got – with all the running that's done in today's game, they don't run cornerbacks out there like that. Why would you run your wide receivers out there like that? And Hartline gives you that flimsy, I want my best guy out there line. You know, I want my best guy out there when he's completely healthy and 100%. And if that means he only plays 80% of the plays, then so be it. So you got the depth. Play the damn depth. That's my feeling on that. It's going to be a long season. And you don't need to run the tread off these guys trying to beat Checks Notes, Northwestern.
Western Michigan, Akron, Marshall. Yeah, at Penn State, if you want to just roll with your top four guys.
Exactly. Pick and choose your spots. Get them in, get them out. And ball cap.
Against Marshall. Against Marshall, I need to see Jaden Ballard out there a lot. You know, I need to see Bryson Rogers out there a lot.
Win the Heisman Trophy.
Keon Gray some run. You know, and
we've done this Heisman Trophy finalist bullcrap. Hey, how about the trophy that really matters? That tall one, you know, that they hand out to the last team, the team that wins the very last game of the year. How about that one? Let's train and practice and play for that freaking trophy one of these years.
I like what you're thinking there. Now you're going to have to tell me. I got to tell everybody about our awesome new sponsor, Gooder Sunglasses. I love this. Steve, first of all, you got to tell me which one looks better. They sent me some shades. You know, you got that one, you know.
I like
and
that.
You got to, you know, take a good mental picture. These are Gooder Sunglasses. I highly recommend them. I got this one. Which one do you like better, A or B?
I liked A better. I like A better.
Okay.
A better.
And then, like we were talking about on Monday's show, you know, one of the things that I'm very good at is losing sunglasses. So I'm tempted sometimes to buy those real expensive sunglasses, $200. And I'm like, no, I'll have that for like a week, and then I will definitely either lose them or break them, probably lose them. These are awesome because they start at $25. So, and you guys can get a good deal here. We are very happy to announce our newest sponsor of the show, Gooder Sunglasses. These sunglasses start at just $25, and they are 100% polarized. Gooder has a massive selection of sunglasses. And again, one of the things that I love is I don't have to worry about losing them because I'm not dropping $200 on a pair of sunglasses. These look like the really expensive sunglasses, but you're getting them at a fraction of the cost. I showed you a couple of mine. My wife got a pair called Amelia Earhart Ghosted Me, and now she loves them. And now her and my daughter are fighting over who gets to keep them. So now I'm going to have to buy another pair of Amelia Earhart Ghosted Me, which is their best-selling women's sunglasses. So we have a lot of women that listen to the show. Amelia Earhart Ghosted Me is very, very popular in my house with the ladies. So I highly recommend you guys go to gooder.com, check them out. And thanks to the BM5, you can get free shipping on any order. That's right. If you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving Bucknuts Morning 5 listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/bucknuts and use code Bucknuts for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/bucknuts and use code Bucknuts for free shipping. Gooder, G-O-O-D-R. Gooder.com/bucknuts. Use code Bucknuts for free shipping.
Yeah, I go back to the 90s, Dave, and it was the phase where everybody had to have the Ray-Bans. And so you'd go to the bar, daytime would become nighttime. You'd set them down on the bar. You'd invariably leave them at the bar. And then you're frantic because your $40 or $50 pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses, you no longer own them. And, you know, I went through that phase just like everybody else did from like 1990 to 95. You had to have those Ray-Ban sunglasses. Now, I have glasses that just—I have the lenses that just go from light to dark on their own, so I don't even need sunglasses, which is great.
B's also getting some love here. All right, there we go.
B's nice too. You can't lose with Gooder sunglasses, Dave. You can't lose. So
you just can't lose.
You can't lose.
All right, there you go. Can't lose with Steve Hellwagon. And then Steve,
I lost plenty. Trust me.
I've lost plenty too. I want to finish.
Lost on the Reds last night. Lost on the godforsaken Reds. Jeez. Lost on the under on the Reds last night. The under was 9.5. Stupid Brewers scored 9 on their own. Jesus.
They just can't get it going. Oh, B, a lot of love coming in from B. A lot of love. Mrs. Sanchez, the mother of the number one corner in the country.
With a bullet.
I love that she's a loyal listener to the show. It's awesome. First,
got that quarterback call.
Ruben thought she was trolling at first, and it was like, is that really Devin Sanchez's mom? And he's like, if it is, if it's not, that's an all-time troll job. And
they've cornered the market on corners. They got what? Aaron Scott and West this past year. And in the 2025 class, open up the class list. They have two cornerbacks who are rated in the national top 5 overall in the country, not cornerback, overall prospects. I mean, it's nuts. They have cornered the market on the cornerback position. It is defensive back you, no doubt about it.
Tim Walton is
– what's their little thing they call it? Best in America?
BIA.
It hasn't been BIA since the Lattimore days there, you know, 5 years ago. But it's Okuda. But it's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back.
Yeah. Mrs. Sanchez is making it clear she's not a troll. We know you're not. We consider you a part of the family now. Okay. Especially love the shout out to Bucknuts when you guys did the announcement on the Army All-American game. I'm kidding. They didn't actually do that. That was really cool seeing the whole family there. They looked great when Devin made his announcement. All right. If you don't like Ohio State basketball, it's been good talking to you guys. I get it. But we're going to get – I'm going to get some Steve's thoughts to finish the show on Ohio State hoops. Okay. They already got Michi. In my opinion, Steve, they need to get 3 more transfers, this basketball team under Jake Diebler. Are they going to get 3 more, and who might they be? And just your thoughts overall on what Jake Diebler needs to do in the portal.
Yeah, we posted a story last night with 16 players, little vignettes on 16 different players who are in the portal who would fill a need for Ohio State. The two primary needs, they need a center. Felix Okpara is a very nice player, but you look, he's so inconsistent. He's up one game, he's down the next. He got bully balled by Illinois. He has his limitations. Let's just put it that way. He's not a 40-minute a game guy. You know, you look at Edie, played 40 minutes. You know, that's the outlier. And obviously National Player of the Year. No one's expecting Ohio State to bring in the National Player of the Year to play center. But you need a stronger body in there. And I'm not saying we're washing our hands of Akpara by any means, but I think that you need a complement to Akpara, somebody who can catch the ball in the low post and score, defend, rebound, you know, someone in that 6'2", 250, 260, or 6'10", 250, 260 range with some offensive skill that can hold his own in the post. That is A. As R.G. Bunker would say, two is you need – you're losing Jamison Battle, the 6'7 wing who can shoot threes. You need a Jamison Battle type clone, a 6'7 wing who can shoot threes. And, you know, if it's 6'5", okay. If he's 6'9", okay. Whatever. Just you need that moldy – faceted threat at the three. They have all the other positions covered, Dave. One, two, three. What they don't have, you know, is a forward, that wing that they really need somebody who can carry the mail. So those are the two primary things. And then the very next best player available, which could be a Bronny James. It could be Matt Alaco, the kid from Hilliard-Bradley. It could be, you know, any number of guys. I put my list out and somebody says, we don't need another 6'3 guard. I was like, well, kind of you do because you've lost some depth there. You're bringing in John Mobley Jr., who figures to play a little bit, and Colin White, who could be a three. But I do think losing Roddy Gale is huge. And I think, you know, we don't know what Tyson Chapman can bring yet. So you can't have enough good guards that can play. And so if you bring in somebody who's experienced, can shoot threes, and help you off the bench at guard, I think that'd be the third position I'm looking at. So, you know, a post, a wing, and a guard. That's all they need, Dave. And listen, you know, what we saw at the end of the season was great. They were 8-3, 7-3 against high majors, 6-2 against Big Ten teams. You've got the makings of a team that could go above 500 in the Big Ten next year, go to the NCAA tournament. But if you want to contend, if you want to go deep in the tournament in Diebler's first year, you need two more players on this roster, period, over and out. You saw Connecticut, you know, they're at a level far, far and away above anybody else. Purdue had crapped on everybody all season long, and they were made to look like Maryland in the national championship game. They were terrible. So that'll tell you how far the level is from where you are to where you need to be, and you do it with players. Diebler's got to go get some players.
Great stuff from Steve Hotwagon. Thank you to Steve. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Again, programming note, we're getting – our first interview with Carlos Lachlan today, the media, is at noon. We're also chatting with head coach Ryan Day, so keep it locked to Bucknuts. We'll have stories, videos, all that good stuff from the press conference with Coach Lachlan and Coach Day today. Thanks again to Steve. Thanks to all of you. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
It's the most all-star-studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.